Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our read aloud. I am on page 273 at the chapter titled Alien. We headed back the way we came, in the direction of the giant screen. That's when we walked straight into a group of kids we didn't know. They'd just come out of the woods doing stuff I'm sure they didn't want their teachers to know about. I could smell the smoke now, the smell of both firecrackers and cigarettes. They pointed a flashlight at us. There were six of them, four boys and two girls. They looked like they were in the seventh grade. "What school are you from?" one of the boys called out. "Beecher Prep," Jack started to answer when all of a sudden one of the girls started screaming. "Oh my God!" she shrieked, holding her hand over her eyes like she was crying. I figured maybe a huge bug had just flown into her face or something. "No way!" one of the boys cried out, and he started flickering his hand in the air like he just touched something hot. And then he covered his mouth. "No way, man, no way." All of them started half laughing and half covering their eyes now, pushing each other and cursing loudly. "What is it?" said the kid who was pointing the flashlight at us. "What is that?" And it was only then that I realized that the flashlight was pointed right at my face. And what they were talking about, screaming about, was me. "Let's get out of here," Jack said to me quietly, and he pulled me by the sweatshirt sleeve and started walking away from them. "Wait, wait, wait," yelled the guy with the flashlight, cutting us off. He pointed the flashlight right in my face again, and now he was only about 5 feet away. "Oh, man, oh, man," he said, shaking his head, his mouth wide open. "What happened to your face?" "Stop it, Eddie," said one of the girls. "I didn't know we were watching Lord of the Rings," he said. "Look, guys, it's Gollum." This made his friends hysterical. Again, we tried to walk away from them, and again, the kid named Eddie cut us off. He was at least a head taller than Jack, who was about a head taller than me, so the guy looked huge to me. "No, man, it's aliens," said one of the other kids. "No, no, no, man, it's an orc," laughed Eddie, pointing the flashlight at my face again. This time, he was right in front of us. "Leave him alone, okay?" said Jack, pushing the hand holding the flashlight away. "Make me," answered Eddie, pointing the flashlight in Jack's face now. "What's your problem, dude?" said Jack. "Your boyfriend's my problem." "Jack, let's just go," I said, pulling him by the arm. "Oh man, it talks," screamed Eddie, shining the flashlight in my face again. Then one of the other guys threw a firecracker at her feet. Jack tried to push past Eddie, but Eddie shoved his hands into Jack's shoulders and pushed him hard, which made Jack fall backward. "Eddie!" screamed one of the girls. "Look," I said, stepping in front of Jack and holding my hand up in the air like a traffic cop. "We're a lot smaller than you guys." "Are you talking to me, Freddy Krueger? I don't think you want to mess with me, you ugly freak," said Eddie. And this was the point where I knew I should run away as fast as I could. But Jack was still on the ground, and I wasn't about to leave him. "Yo, dude," said a voice from behind us. "What's up, man?" Eddie spun around and pointed his flashlight toward the voice. For a second, I couldn't believe who it was. "Leave them alone, dude," said Amos, with Henry and Miles right behind him. "Says who?" said one of the guys with Eddie. "Just leave them alone, dude," Amos repeated calmly. "Are you a freak too?" said Eddie. "They're all a bunch of freaks," said one of his friends. Amos didn't answer them, but looked at us. "Come on, guys, let's go. Mr. Tushman's waiting for us." I knew that was a lie, but I helped Jack get up, and we started walking over to Amos. Then out of the blue, the Eddie guy grabbed my hood as I passed by him, yanking it really hard so I was pulled backward and fell flat on my back. It was a hard fall, and I hurt my elbow pretty bad on a rock. I couldn't see what was happening afterward, except that Amos rammed into that Eddie guy like a monster truck, and they both fell down to the ground next to me. Everything got really crazy after that. Someone pulled me up by my sleeve and yelled, "Run!" And someone else screamed, "Get him!" at the same time. And for a few seconds, I actually had two people pulling the sleeves of my sweatshirt in opposite directions. I heard them both cursing until my sweatshirt ripped, and the first guy yanked me by my arm and started pulling me behind him as we ran, which I did as fast as I could. I could hear footsteps just behind us, chasing us, the voices shouting and the girls screaming. But it was so dark I didn't know whose voices they were, only that it felt like we were underwater. We were running like crazy and it was pitch black. And whenever I started to slow down, the guy pulling me by my arm would yell, "Don't stop!" Voices in the dark. Finally, after what seemed like forever of running, someone yelled, "I think we lost them. Amos?" "I'm right here," said Amos' voice a few feet behind us. "We can't stop," Miles yelled from further up. "Jack," I yelled. "Whoa," said Jack. "I'm here. I can't see a thing. Are you sure we lost him?" Henry asked, letting go of my arm. That's when I realized that he'd been the one who was pulling me as we ran. "Yeah, shh, listen." We all got super quiet, listening for footsteps in the dark. All we could hear were the crickets and frogs and our own crazy panting. We were out of breath, stomachs hurting, bodies bent over our knees. "We lost them," said Henry. "Whoa, that was intense. What happened to the flashlight?" "I dropped it." "How did you guys know?" said Jack. "We saw them before. They looked like jerks." "You just rammed into him," I said to Amos. "I know, right?" laughed Amos. "He didn't even see it coming," said Miles. "He was like, 'Are you a freak too?' And you were like, 'Bam,'" said Jack. "Bam," said Amos, throwing a fake punch in the air. But after I tackled him, I was like, "Run, Amos, you schmuck, he's 10 times bigger than you." And I got up and started running as fast as I could. We all started laughing. I grabbed Augie and I was like, "Run," said Henry. "I didn't even know it was you pulling me," I answered. "That was wild," said Amos, shaking his head. "Totally wild. Your lip is bleeding, dude." "I got in a couple good punches," answered Amos, wiping his lip. "I think they were 7th graders. They were huge. Losers," Henry shouted really loudly, but we all shushed him. We listened for a second to make sure no one had heard him. "Where the heck are we?" asked Amos. "I can't even see the screen." "I think we're in the cornfields," answered Henry. "Duh, we're in the cornfield," said Miles, pushing a cornstalk at Henry. "Okay, I know exactly where we are," said Amos. "We have to go back in this direction. That'll take us to the other side of the field." "Yo, dudes," said Jack, hand high in the air. "That was really cool of you guys to come back for us. Really cool. Thanks." "No problem," answered Amos, high-fiving Jack. And then Miles and Henry high-fived him too. "Yeah, dudes, thanks," I said, holding my palm up like Jack just had, though I wasn't sure if they'd high-five me too. Amos looked at me and nodded. "It was cool how you stood up and stood your ground, little dude," he said, high-fiving me. "Yeah, Augie," said Miles, high-fiving me too. "You were like, 'We're littler than you guys.'" I didn't know what else to say. I laughed. "Very cool," said Henry, and he high-fived me too. "Sorry I ripped your sweatshirt." I looked down and my sweatshirt was completely torn down the middle. One sleeve was ripped off and the other was so stretched out it was hanging down to my knees. "Hey, your elbow's bleeding," said Jack. "Yeah," I shrugged. It was starting to hurt a lot. "You okay?" said Jack, seeing my face. I nodded. Suddenly, I felt like crying, and I was trying really hard not to do that. "Wait, your hearing aids are gone," said Jack. "What?" I yelled, touching my ears. The hearing aids band was definitely gone. That's why I felt like I was underwater. "Oh, no," I said. That's when I couldn't hold it anymore. Everything that had just happened kind of hit me, and I couldn't help it. I started to cry, like big crying, what Mom would call the waterworks. I was so embarrassed I hid my face in my arm, but I couldn't stop the tears from coming. The guys were really nice to me, though. They patted me on the back. "You're okay, dude. It's okay," they said. "You're one brave little dude, you know that?" said Amos, putting his arm around my shoulders. And when I kept crying, he put both of his arms around me like my dad would have done and let me cry. The Emperor's Guard. We backtracked through the grass for a good 10 minutes to see if we could find my hearing aids, but it was way too dark to see anything. We literally had to hold on to each other's shirts and walk in single file so we wouldn't trip over one another. It was like black ink had been poured all around us. "This is hopeless," said Henry. "They could be anywhere." "Maybe we could come back with a flashlight," answered Amos. "No, it's okay," I said. "Let's just go back, though. Thanks." We walked back toward the cornfields and then cut through them until the back of the giant screen came into view. Since it was facing away from us, we didn't get any light from the screen at all until we'd walked around the edge of the woods again. That's where we finally started seeing a little light. There was no sign of the seventh graders anywhere. "Where do you think they went?" said Jack. "Back to the food truck," said Amos. "They're probably thinking we're going to report them." "Are we?" asked Henry. They looked at me. I shook my head. "Okay," said Amos. "But little dude, don't walk around here alone again, okay? If you need to go somewhere, tell us and we'll go with you, okay?" "Okay," I nodded. As we got closer to the screen, I could hear high on a hill was a lonely goat herd, and I could smell the cotton candy from one of the concession stands near the food trucks. There were lots of kids milling around in this area, so I pulled what was left of my hoodie over my head and kept my face down, hands in my pockets, as we made our way through the crowd. It had been a long time since I'd been without my hearing aids, and it felt like I was miles under the earth. It felt like the song Miranda used to sing to me, "Ground control to Major Tom, your circuit's dead, there's something wrong." I did notice as I walked that Amos had stayed right next to me, and Jack was close on the other side of me, and Miles was in front of us, and Henry was in back of us. They were surrounding me as we walked through the crowds of kids, like I had my own Emperor's Guard. Sleep. Then they came out of the narrow valley, and at once she saw the reason. There stood Peter and Edmund and all the rest of Aslan's army fighting desperately against the crowd of horrible creatures whom she had seen last night. Only now, in the daylight, they looked even stranger and more evil and more deformed. I stopped there. I'd been reading for an hour, and sleep still didn't come. It was almost 2 a.m. Everyone else was asleep. I had my flashlight under the sleeping bag, and maybe the light was why I couldn't sleep. But I was too afraid to turn it off. I was afraid of how dark it was outside the sleeping bag. When we got back to our section in the front of the movie screen, no one had even noticed we'd been gone. Mr. Tushman and Miss Rubin and Summer and all the rest of the kids were just watching the movie. They had no clue how something bad had almost happened to me and Jack. It's so weird how that can be, how you could have a night that's the worst in your life, but everybody else's, it's just an ordinary night. Like on my calendar at home, I would mark this as being one of the most horrific days of my life, this and the day Daisy died. But for the rest of the world, this is just an ordinary day, or maybe it was even a good day. Maybe somebody won the lottery today. Amos, Miles, and Henry brought me and Jack over to where we'd been sitting before, with Summer, Maya, and Reed. And then they went and sat where they had been sitting before, with Ximena and Savannah and their group. In a way, everything was exactly as we had left it before we went looking for the toilets. The sky was the same. The movie was the same. Everyone's faces were the same. Mine was the same. But something was different. Something had changed. I could see Amos and Miles and Henry telling their group what had just happened. I knew they were talking about it because they kept looking over at me while they were talking. Even though the movie was still playing, people were whispering about it in the dark. News like that spreads fast. It was what everyone was talking about on the bus ride back to the cabins. All the girls, even the girls I didn't know very well, were asking me if I was okay. The boys were all talking about getting revenge on the group of the seventh grade jerks, trying to figure out what school they were from. I wasn't planning on telling the teachers about any of what had happened, but they found out anyway. Maybe it was the torn sweatshirt and the bloody elbow, or maybe it was just that teachers hear everything. When we got back to the camp, Mr. Tushman took me to the first aid office, and while I was getting my elbow cleaned and bandaged up by the camp nurse, Mr. Tushman and the camp director were in the next room talking with Amos and Jack and Henry and Miles, trying to get a description of the troublemakers. When he asked me about them a little later, I said I couldn't remember their faces at all, which wasn't true. It's their faces I kept seeing every time I closed my eyes to sleep. The look of total horror on the girl's face when she first saw me. The way the kid with the flashlight, Eddie, looked at me as he talked to me like he hated me. Like a lamb to the slaughter, I remember my dad saying that ages ago. But tonight, I think I finally got what it meant. Aftermath. Mom was waiting for me in front of the school along with the other parents when the bus arrived. Mr. Tushman told me on the bus ride home that they had called my parents to let them know that there had been a situation the night before, but that everyone was fine. He said the camp director and several of the other counselors went looking for the hearing aid in the morning while we were swimming in the lake, but they couldn't find it anywhere. Broarwood would reimburse us the cost of the hearing aids, he said. They felt bad about what had happened. I wondered if Eddie had taken my hearing aids with him as a kind of souvenir, something to remember the orc. Mom gave me a tight hug when I got off the bus, and she didn't slam me with questions like I thought she might. Her hug felt good, and I didn't shake it off like some of the other kids were doing with their parents' hugs. The bus driver started unloading our duffel bags, and I went to find mine while Mom talked to Mr. Tushman and Miss Rubin, who had walked over to her. As I rolled my bag toward her, a lot of kids who don't usually say anything to me were nodding hello or patting my back as I walked by them. "Ready?" Mom said when she saw me. She took my duffel bag, and I didn't even try to hold on to it. I was fine with her carrying it. If she wanted to carry me on her shoulders, I would have been fine with that too, to be truthful. As we started to walk away, Mr. Tushman gave me a quick, tight hug, but didn't say anything. Home. Mom and I didn't talk much the whole walk home, and when I got to the front stoop, I automatically looked in the front bay window because I forgot for a second that Daisy wasn't going to be there like always, perched on the sofa with her front paws on the window sill, waiting for us to come home. It made me kind of sad when I walked inside. As soon as we did, Mom dropped my duffel bag and wrapped her arms around me and kissed me on my head and on my face like she was breathing me in. "It's okay, Mom, I'm fine," I said, smiling. She nodded and took my face in her hands. Her eyes were shiny. "I know you are," she said. "I missed you so much, Augie. I missed you too." I could tell she wanted to say a lot of things, but she was stopping herself. "Are you hungry?" she asked. "Starving. Can I have a grilled cheese?" "Of course," she answered, and immediately started to make the sandwich while I took off my jacket and sat down at the kitchen counter. "Where's Via?" I asked. "She's coming home with Dad today." "Boy, did she miss you, Augie," Mom said. "Yeah, she would have liked the nature reserve." "You know what movie they played? The Sound of Music. You'll have to tell her that." "So do you want to hear about the bad part or the good part first?" I asked after a few minutes, leaning my head on my hand. "Whatever you want to talk about," she answered. "Well, except for last night, I had an awesome time," I said. "I mean, it was just awesome. That's why I'm so bummed. I feel like they ruined the whole trip for me." "No, sweetie, don't let them do that to you. You were there for more than 48 hours, and that awful part lasted 1 hour. Don't let them take that away from you, okay?" "I know," I nodded. "Did Mr. Tushman tell you about the hearing aids?" "Yes, he called us this morning." "Was Dad mad because they're so expensive?" "Oh my gosh, of course not, Augie. He just wanted to know that you were all right. That's all that matters to us. And that you don't let those thugs ruin your trip." I kind of laughed at the way she said the word thugs. "What?" she asked. "Thugs," I teased her. "That's kind of an old-fashioned word." "Okay, jerks, morons, imbeciles," she said, flipping over the sandwich in the pan. "Grientos, as my mother would have said, whatever you want to call them. I saw them on the street, I would," she shook her head. "They're a pretty big, Mom," I smiled. "Seventh graders, I think." She shook her head. "Seventh graders? Mr. Tushman didn't tell me that. Oh my goodness." "Did he tell you how Jack stood up for me?" I said. "And Amos was like, bam. He rammed into the leader. They both crashed to the ground like a real fight. It was pretty awesome. Amos's lip was bleeding and everything. He told us there was a fight, but, she said, looking at me with her eyebrows raised, I'm just so grateful you and Amos and Jack are fine. When I think about what it could have happened, she trailed off, flipping the grilled cheese again. My Montauk hoodie got totally shredded. Well, that can be replaced, she answered. She lifted the grilled cheese onto the plate and put the plate in front of me on the counter. Milk or white grape juice? Chocolate milk, please. I started devouring the sandwich. Oh, can you do that special way that you make it with the froth? How did you and Jack end up at the edge of the woods in the first place? She said, pouring the milk into a tall glass. Jack had to go to the bathroom, I answered. My mouth was full. As I was talking, she spooned the chocolate powder and started rolling the small whisk between her palms really fast. But there was a huge line, and he didn't want to wait. So we went toward the woods to pee. She looked up at me while she was whisking. I knew she was thinking we shouldn't have done that. The chocolate milk in the glass now had a 2-inch froth on top. That looks good, Mom. Thanks. And then what happened? She said, putting the glass in front of me. I took a long drink of the chocolate milk. If it's okay with you, I don't want to talk about it anymore right now. Oh, okay. I'll promise I'll tell you all about it later when Dad and Via come home. I'll tell you all every detail. I just don't want to have to tell the whole story over and over, you know? Absolutely. I finished my sandwich in 2 more bites and gulped down the chocolate milk. Wow, you practically inhaled that sandwich. Do you want another one? She said. I shook my head and wiped my mouth with the back of my hand. Mom, am I always going to have to worry about jerks like that? I asked. Like when I grow up. Is it always going to be like this? She didn't answer right away, but took my plate and glass and put them in the sink and rinsed them with water. There are always going to be jerks in the world, Augie, she said, looking at me. But I really believe, and Daddy really believes, that there are more good people on this earth than bad people. And the good people watch out for each other and take care of each other, just like Jack was there for you, and Amos, and the other kids. Oh yeah, Miles and Henry, I answered. They were awesome too. It's weird because Miles and Henry haven't even really been nice to me at all during the year. Sometimes people surprise us, she said, rubbing the top of my head. I guess. Want another glass of chocolate milk? No, I'm good, I said. Thanks, Mom. Actually, I'm kind of tired. I didn't sleep too good last night. You should take a nap. Thanks for leaving Babu, by the way. You got my note? She smiled. I slept with him both nights. She was about to say something else when her cell phone rang and she answered. She started beaming as she listened. Oh my goodness, really? What kind? She said excitedly. Yep, he's right here. He was about to take a nap. Want to say hi? Oh, okay. See you in 2 minutes, she clicked off. That was Daddy, she said excitedly. He and V are just down the block. He's not at work, I said. He left early because he couldn't wait to see you, she said. So don't take a nap quite yet. 5 seconds later, Dad and Via came through the door. I ran into Dad's arms and he picked me up and spun me around and kissed me. He didn't let me go for a full minute until I said, Dad, it's okay. And then it was Via's turn, and she kissed me all over like she used to do when I was little. It wasn't until she stopped that I noticed a big white cardboard box they had brought in with them. What is that? I said. Open it, said Dad, smiling, and he and Mom looked at each other like they knew a secret. Come on, Augie, said Via. I opened the box. Inside was the cutest little puppy I have ever seen in my life. It was black and furry with a pointed little snout and bright black eyes and small ears that flopped down. And that's where I need to stop for today. The next chapter is on page 289, and it is titled Bear. Have a great day, everyone.